Your setting was quite different from the setting we used to preach for adult folks. But today, I was really blessed while singing together with you guys. So I feel used in my heart. Today, I'm going to talk about the guy named Joseph. You know who is Joseph? Anyone has a name, Joseph here? Raise hand. Good. Good to see you. Okay. Joseph, Hebrew, means the Lord adds. Okay. Hosip in Hebrew is to add. So, the name, the added blessings after blessings. That's what Joseph meant. And here, Joseph is maybe one of the most prosperous men in the Bible. We know Moses, right? And Moses became, you know, son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he didn't become big guy, you know. At the end, he became, you know, he had to refuge into the wilderness and spent another 40 years as a shepherd, alright? And you know, the life of shepherd wasn't that great. But here, Joseph, he became prime minister of Egypt. You know, Egyptian empire at those time, so you may say that's the really New York or whatever, the Washington DC. Really the center of the ancient world. And Pharaoh was, you know, on top of him, but, you know, Pharaoh was just, you know, puppet, we may say, because Joseph had all the authority and power. And he was a Hebrew, you know, not even Egyptian. So he was a first generation immigrant. Okay, here you guys, most of you are second generation, or one and a half. Alright? But here, he was a first generation immigrant. This really impresses me a lot more, because I am a first generation immigrant here. And as first generation immigrant, he was recognized and trusted and promoted to the highest leadership position. At the age of what? 30 years old. 30. And okay, when did he come to Egypt? 17. You are 17, not 16. 17 years old, the boy came to Egypt. Alright? As a slave. Okay? Even he didn't speak Egyptian language, didn't know Egyptian culture. Okay, think about it. You come to foreign land at age of 17 without knowing the language and culture, or no background, nothing. Well, background is a slave. Okay? And 13 years later, you become prime minister of that world. Think about it. This is a miracle. God worked through the guy named Joseph. You know, that's why I made my sermon title today is, Do You Want to Be Rich and Famous? Okay, everyone raise hand who do not want to be rich and famous. Raise hand. Do you think he is serious?
I'm a humble man.
Okay. We lie every day, right?
Not lying.
And, well, I'm a pastor, okay? And I'm pastor and professor. You know, when I become a pastor, when I was ordained, you know, it's kind of a poverty pledge, okay? Poverty vow. But, to tell the truth, if God gives me rich and fame according to His plan, why not? Okay? But unfortunately, he didn't give me much, but still I got plenty. And actually most of my colleague pastors, they really think I am rich and famous compared to them, but I'm poor. And on top of this, Joseph is the guy. Really, it's very hard to find any defect in his character and in his behavior and life. Think about it. Joseph, wherever he went, he was faithful as slave. That's why his master, you know, Potiphar, entrusted everything to his care. You know, to be thought as so faithful by your master isn't easy. You know, I was working for a company named Samsung for quite years. I was trusted, but I saw most of my colleagues in my department, really, they were not trusted by the boss. You find very few guys who are trusted. To be trusted, you must be faithful and able. Okay? You must show the proof of your faithful work with result. That's the word. And he was perfect, faithful, and honest and humble. Think about it. He was trusted by even jailer. He was thrown into jail, okay? As a criminal. Well, it was not true, but as a rapist, okay? Who would trust criminal like him? But think about how he behaved. He must have behaved really faithful and honest and humble and able. Okay, ability comes. Otherwise, jailer wouldn't have trusted him. Left everything to his care. It's impossible. And later, what happened? Peril! Egypt! The emperor of Egypt entrusted everything he had to his care. And I think Joseph may be kind of a figure like Christ in his character especially. And think about what Joseph did to his brothers who betrayed him, almost killed him, and sold him into slavery. Let him suffer so much. At the end, he forgave them all. It isn't easy. You know, when we are betrayed, okay, well, sometimes not even betrayal. Your friend sitting next to you, say something to your ears, one word, okay? That pisses you off. You can't forget that sometimes it takes about a month or two, sometimes whole year. You don't want to even talk to this guy, alright? You hate him, and anger grows in your heart every day. So sometimes it blow up, feel like stabbing, okay? Yeah, I had that experience, folks. To forgive someone is really hard. Especially that person is your sibling. You know, this is very weird, but if you are betrayed by someone who are not really close to you, sometimes you don't care too much because the guy isn't your friend, okay? It could happen. But if that happens by your sibling or your really closest friend, you feel more anger, even harder to forgive. But Joseph was able to forgive him. He's perfect character. And today I'm going to talk about how Joseph could do those things. How? How he could become someone with such a character? It's almost the Christ character. And became so rich and famous. Okay. As an able guy. How? There are three things I want to talk about. First, when he talk about Joseph, everyone remembers, right? You guys were sitting yesterday, so you don't know better. One D word?
Despair.
No, not despair. That's yesterday's sermon. Today's is, he had dreams.
Oh, yeah.
He had dreams. Okay. You know, in 2002, what happened in Korea? World Cup, yes. And one of the catchphrases was, dream come true. Okay. Make healing president. Dream come true. Dream come true. Seriously, folks. Use without the dream is not use at all. And when I was a little boy, I had a dream. You know what kind of dream I had? I read a book about the guy named Alexander the Great, okay? It's written by Plutarch. That was when I was maybe about 7 or 8 years old. I was a weird guy. I used to read the book very early age. And the first book I read when I had first grade was Arabian Night. That was my first book. Okay. Somehow I was able to find it in the closet in my house. That was the only book in that house. And I didn't know that book was Arabian Night, because about one third was just gone. And Plutarch was maybe about second book. The guy, Alexander the Great, impressed me so much. I had a dream to become a great king like Alexander. Seriously, folks, that dream was in my heart for a long time. I still have it. Well, you know, we are kingdom priest, folks. We are in Christ. I'm a king with Christ, under Christ, folks. And whatever you do, you want to rule over, not be ruled by. You know, we are created to control the world, not to be controlled by the world. Remember, that's how we are created in the image of God. Why am I going that far? Okay, dreams. Okay, let's go to chapter 37 of Genesis and verse 5 through 10. Well, if you have Bible, okay. Let me read it for you guys. And Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to the dream I had. We are binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Oh boy. His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him, said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. The father kept the matter in mind. See, even though what Joseph told his brothers, really, he was 11th sons of Jacob, folks, out of 12. His big brother Reuben was almost his father's, almost the father kind of age. You know, I think Reuben would have been over 40 at this time. Over 40, maybe much older. And he was 17. And his big brothers, and a guy telling, well, you guys are going to be all bow down before me. I will reign over you. Okay, that's the dream. Well, he just told them, you know, so that pissed off all his brothers. Okay, but his father, even though he rebuked him, kept the matter in mind because Jacob knew the power of a dream. Remember, Jacob had dreams too. Because dreams, this kind of dream given by God is very, very important. This dream will control the life of Joseph. This dream kept him from falling. You know, Joseph's life was a life of sufferings. As you know, at 17, he was betrayed by his brothers and thrown into water cistern. Then finally sold to the merchant as a slave. Think about you walking through the desert of Sinai as a slave, going down. You were most favored son of your father. Your life changed, so miserable. Think about standing in slave market. Alright, people will look around you and try to see your teeth, whether you are strong. What kind of shame? No future. But this dream to be ruler, kept him from falling. He didn't perish. Dream keeps you going. That's why I'm saying how important it is to have great dream given by God. What dream you're going to have at this moment will determine your future, folks. And I challenge you. You should seek what kind of dream you shall be given by God. Seriously. Think about it. And next time, I don't know, you guys coming Friday and Sunday, right? And even though I will not be with you guys, I mean, you guys bring the dreams you had from the Lord and present to your friend here. Then that dream will keep you going, folks. And second, as you know, he had a wonderful dream. But it is one thing to have a wonderful dream, have a big heart, okay, boasting around, okay. But it is totally another how you are treated by others because of dream. Dream has a price, folks. You have to pay for the price. You know, some people like Obama had a dream to become a president of the United States. What kind of price he had to pay? He's a black, half black, right? He had to study very hard to get good grade. He had to accumulate knowledge after knowledge to be able to reign in this country as a president. He had to be honest, must have the character worthy of president. He had to persevere. It wasn't easy. He had to persevere. Sometimes he failed, but he still persevered to the end to become a president. So you must be able to persevere to the end until God makes you to sit at where you wanted to be sitting. And Joseph persevered for 13 years, persevered through the sufferings, betrayed by brothers, and working through the desert as a slave, standing in slave market. I don't know how many days he was standing there. All the shames and frustrations and angers, he persevered. He persevered as a slave in Potiphar's house. He persevered through the Potiphar's wife's seduction. And he persevered through his life in the jail. 13 years, folks. And 13 years. I don't know what will happen to you guys' life after 13 years from today. Think about it. Where you want to be after 13 years? Some of you still think, well, I'm going to be used forever. My mom and dad will feed me. Okay, I don't need to buy a house. I don't need to buy a car. Oh, they will get me. 13 years later, life is going to be different for you guys. I'm serious. 13 years, you have to persevere. How he persevered? He lived life as God-conscious man, not man-conscious. Let me read a passage to tell about how he lived. And at the time, his master's wife cast eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" See, this is very important word. Sin against God. Anything he does, bad things toward others, he considered that sin against God. This is a very important principle. Anything we do toward our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, a sin against God. Joseph was really God-conscious man. This is life principle Joseph had. That's how he could persevere. Anything happening in his life, even life as a slave, life as a criminal in jail, he knew it is God behind everything. And it is God who never fails. As we sang the song, "Shout to the Lord" at the end, "Forever I will stand." That means, you know, it's not just standing dumb. "Forever I will stand as his child, worthy of the character of his child. Forever I will stand." It is confession of that songwriter. And Joseph lived life like that. And he believed in the providence of God. Let me read another passage from Genesis chapter 45 verse 7. "God sent me before you to preserve you, preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the lord of all his house, and ruler of all the land of Egypt." Even though it was Joseph's brothers who betrayed him, sold him into slavery to Egypt, Joseph took it a different way. It was God who sent me. So God even works evils of man for good. And Joseph knew this. That's how Joseph could persevere. Today I want to challenge you again. I'd like to ask you that to have dream or another word, maybe a vision for your life. Seriously ask God, Lord, what vision do you have for me? And ultimate vision for all the Christians we have is a Great Commission, as you know. Great Commission, you know what is Great Commission? Making disciples of all nations. We preach the gospel to the end of the world. That's our Great Commission. But everyone has particular vision, not just the Great Commission. Okay? So you're going to seek for that. Ask God, God, what vision do you have for me? And based on that vision, then you have to set up your long-term and short-term goal of your life. As a student in school, what you going to do to reach that goal you have, ultimate goal? Okay? What will be your short-term goal for this semester and next semester? For your high school days and the college, how are you going to plan your college days? How are you going to plan your marriage life? How you plan for your future? That plan must be measurable and challenging. Don't just be satisfied with just a meager, you know, goal. Oh, I want to be just a dry cleaner owner. No, that's not kind of goal I'm looking for here. Something greater, as Joseph had. Okay? And someone may dream, I want to become a president of the United States. I want to become a great chemist to be awarded for Nobel reward. Or physicist. Or I'm going to be great medical doctor who will cure every disease. No, at least one kind of cancer. Yeah. I will become a great writer who will write book like Tolstoy or whoever. Think about it. And how you reach, how you think about what God has. And I will give you a tip. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Okay. It is God who is at work in you, folks. Those who are born again have the Holy Spirit in you. Holy Spirit is at work in you right now. So desire, sometimes the desire you have, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit desire. But think about what you really want to do. Don't think about how much money I'm going to make. Okay? I had a nephew, when he went to college, I asked him, what's your life goal? He said, I want to make a lot of money. You know, is he making a lot of money? Not really. But that's not really that he has desire. There's something else. It may have to do with your talent. What's your desire? Think about it. What's your desire in God? Then second verse, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 through 12. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplished all things according to His counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of His glory. Okay, two things. The desire in my heart, then glorifying God. If these two come together, that is the vision God has for you. Okay? Then next time you guys bring your dreams, and if possible, long-term and short-term goals and strategies, if you can, then that dream will get you going. And no matter what kind of persecutions, sufferings you have in schools or in your future life, those things will become actually stepping stone to your success in your life as a Christian. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for showing us what kind of life you want from all your children here, Lord. Lord, we ask you to give all children here their wonderful dreams, Lord, so that that dream may get them going throughout any ordeal they have in this life, Lord. I pray all this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Say everyone. Amen. Amen.